Welcome to the Lost Dot Podcast and the first edition of the Accursed Race, supported by our race partners Albion, Tailfin, Komoot, Peak Design, Quirk Cycles, and POC. It's day 4 of the Accursed, and the mountains are beginning to take their toll on our riders. The relentless climbs on these Balkan trails are seemingly never-ending. And then there's the weather, which can change from hour to hour, and the long kilometers without resupply spots. But the mountains remain majestic too. The Accursed is a pretty beautiful place to be feeling the pain. Race reporter Tom Probert.
We're waking up this morning in the tiny village of Brod, around 620 kilometres on the course, and we're about 10 kilometres away from the Bosnia-Montenegro border. And this little town mainly consists of, to be honest, one of the most elaborate petrol stations I've ever come across. It's got like a full restaurant, bar, boutique shop, and everything in this town is like centred around this absolutely stunning river, which I'm looking at now as it's running under this bridge between two sides of quite a steep and lushly forested valley, and the water is just bright turquoise. It's amazing. Last night when we arrived here, we literally got into bed when Sam the photographer spotted a full kind of bikepacking rig pull up in the forecourt of that petrol station across the river, so we all scrambled to quickly get over there to find Raul Masink tucking into spaghetti bolognese. So we got some quick shots and had a chat with him. He's doing really well up there in the top 10. And so how's your day been today? Did you enjoy the landscape and the scenery? You must have seen so much. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's amazing because I think Bosnia is so empty. A lot of places, and you really, these big valleys with, especially also yesterday, you have this big valley next to the Siro Trail. Mm-hmm. You see, like, yeah, used to be huge river passing through here, and that's all. Everything is big and huge and empty and a lot of nature.
How are you feeling in general?
Tired, but yeah. I'm feeling quite good. Took me a while today to really get warmed up. I had much more to eat today, so that also helps. So that's a note to keep eating.
Yeah, very important.
Yes. Yeah. Because, if I don't eat enough, then at one point you don't feel hungry anymore, and it becomes a bit more struggle to eat. But if you just keep on feeding, the machine will keep going.
The front of the race, as we wake up this morning, has rounded that northern section of the route and is returning for a second traverse of Montenegro. Race leader Alexander Kopp was through CP1 yesterday and is about to enter the race's quick 70-kilometre flat foray into Kosovo, which should see him not far off CP2, I think, by the end of today. The bulk of the race is making its way through Sudjeska National Park, where we were yesterday. And there's a close race shaping up for that coveted pair's podium spot. It's looking like another mild day here for the riders, with temperatures of around 20 degrees all day, a slight southerly breeze, and it's looking kind of overcast, but it's broken up, and I imagine there'll be sun kind of breaking through as we go through the day.
At Control Point 1 in Baran, our other race reporter, Ross Branigan, gets an update from one of our volunteers there, Vinnie Butterworth.
Yeah, so we had Alex in first. He was in really good spirits. He immediately ordered two enormous bowls of pasta, and then we left him to it. He was followed by Adrian. Adrian came in a bit later, about 1:15 in the morning. And he was very fortunate that there was a night porter here who could actually get a room for him. It was a little bit tricky because the night porter had no English at all, but somehow I think he managed to sort himself out. And then just a few moments ago, we had Josh in as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Josh looked really good. Yeah, mm-hmm. He'd managed to kip down in a shepherd's hut overnight and avoided the bad weather that was coming in on the top of the mountain. So I think he'd stopped a bit earlier than he'd wanted to, but he it paid off because the hotel was open, he could get a coffee, and then he zoomed off again up the road.
Ross managed to speak to Josh Ibbett, Cap 29, before he left.
I managed to get down without getting caught in the storm, but it was pretty wild. It was kind of all the clothes on type weather. Mm. And then I got down the bottom and I was just a bit like knackered, to be honest. I just found somewhere to sleep because I knew there was another 2,000 metre pass coming up. Mm-hmm. Well, almost 2,000 metres. And I knew there was snow at the top of it. So I decided to rest while I had a nice warm shed that I found. I've been doing well for accommodation.
I was going to say, you're looking out on getting some warm spots to stay in, huh?
I've just been stopping really early every night, that's why.
Are you quite pleased with how your race is going so far?
Well, I just looked at the tracker and I seem to be closer than I thought I was. I'm not really sort of worrying about anyone else, to be honest. Mm-hmm. And I don't really want to sleep less than I am already because I'm already quite tired. So. Yeah.
Are you finding that you're enjoying it?
Yeah, I'm just in my little dream world, to be honest. Yeah. It's quite good. Just enjoying the... Well, I've never been off-road in these countries, so it's pretty good to see it all. Some beautiful mountains. Yeah. It reminds me of, like, sometimes, like, Tour Divide, sometimes sort of Kyrgyzstan and Silk Road. Like, there's little bits of everything everywhere.
The team in Control Car 1 are on the move in Montenegro and hope to find and speak to some of the riders in the mid-pack of the race.
So we're just driving the route that the riders are taking. We've just come over the border and we're in Montenegro now. We've been going through very dramatic, very tall, high-sided, V-shaped valleys filled with grey haze. The weather's kind of setting in a bit and there's very, very strong gusty winds that's been kind of getting funneled through these tunnels as we've been driving along. We've found a few riders along the road, including the French pair of Julien and Simon.
Is it recording? Yeah?
Cheeky. Let's check. Yeah. We've got good levels.
Right.
Recording. Yeah, appreciated. Remember last time.
We are all right. We are very happy to be here now. It's been a bit of a fight yesterday. This morning was hard too. We're looking forward for, I don't know, something else.
What have been the main challenges then last night and this morning?
Actually, the main challenge was like we made a mistake on resupply, I think, at the end of the map number 3.
Yes.
But actually, we had kind of enough food, but we were like so much hoping for like a shop or something. Uh-huh. That obviously didn't happen. So it wasn't like as bad. But like, yeah, we passed in a village pretty early this morning. I think it was like maybe 5 or 6, uh-huh. Just a gas station open. But now here we are in Plusin. We were praying for this place.
Yeah, yeah. Since 5 hours, we were like inventing songs about Plusin and stuff. Like we were saying that like we would buy all the souvenir, like the sweatshirt and everything.
At least we want a t-shirt of Plusin.
The beaver thing, yeah, it comes from Simon. He says that when we start a cycling trip, he says we start as a human, and every single day we're cycling and traveling, we become more of a beaver. So each day there's like a new element, like the two teeth, the will to build things, and also like a very nice flat tail, and also like the waterproof hair.
Okay.
And so these kind of stuff. And the smell, of course.
I did notice that.
Yeah. Yes, well.
So how far along the transformation are you?
We just got our flat tail yesterday.
You got the flat tail yesterday. Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you, man.
Yeah, you guys are going crazy.
Yeah, I can tell you. Yeah.
In previous episodes, we've heard how the Balkans are going through a period of change. New infrastructure is being built, and there's an increase in tourists who want to experience the remoteness and incredible landscapes. However,
we've just been driving up this road that has got like a layer of new tarmac on. It used to be a gravel track, I understand.
Yeah, when the team wrecked it last year, it was a beautiful, sweeping double track, sort of hanging to the edge of the valley. You've got the river valley below, you've got Bobatovkirk and the heights of Dermitor up above to the left. It's a bit sad to find out it's got this perfect fresh new tarmac on. Obviously, like, development for the region is probably really important for the local areas, so you can't begrudge them that at all. But from the point of view of a bike race, yeah, we'd love to have that gravel back.
Some of the riders might not begrudge it if they're quite tired at this point as well.
Well, we're climbing quite sharply as well, so yeah, I imagine the riders will be quite pleased at this point to find that it's been tarmacked.
At the front of the race, approaching the border to Kosovo, Ross catches up with Adrian Lichti, Cap 12, a hugely experienced rider with more than 40 ultras under his belt. He's been riding brilliantly so far, but like others, is being tested by the challenge of the accursed, which includes the possibility of running into snow, although reroutes are provided so riders can avoid any dangerous areas.
Oh my god!
It's next level of racing for me.
Next level of racing?
Yeah, it's really hard. How did you find this route? How do you find this?
Conditions over the top, was it at all muddy?
No, it's okay, it's muddy, but there is a lot of rocks, but yeah, it's hard. Wow. But yeah, it's beautiful, yeah.
Did you have enough food on that stretch?
Yeah. I bought a lot of food yesterday. Mm. Yeah, it was for this because it was closed this morning and yesterday.
Yeah, you arrived at the hotel and you were not able to get any food,
No.
So I hear you found some snow last night.
Yeah, the dangerous part, yeah.
Is that just the snowbank? Or was there anything fresh up there?
No, it was an old avalanche. But I think it's on the north face, so... So it's better to not go on the snow, yeah.
Yeah.
And at night, it's not easy to see the track, yeah. Mm. But yeah, it's super dangerous, the snow. You don't want to fall.
The team in Control Car 1 have stopped so race photographer Sam Dugon can try and take some more long lens photos. It's a game of patience and persistence to get the right shot.
And we've got ourselves ahead of Veronica in the control car, so we're waiting for her to come down this pass and eventually hit the bridge. We haven't really got an accurate idea of when she's going to arrive, do we?
It's like being a boy again, growing up in Yorkshire, running through the woods and spying on your friends from afar, having water pistol fights and building dens and nicking your dad's binoculars.
Just for context, Andrew's crouched next to a road with an anorak on, peering through some binoculars to the far side of this valley here, waiting for Veronica to appear.
The anorak makes it sound sinister.
I was trying to make it sound more lame, actually. And are there any considerations when taking a shot from this kind of distance? You've got your big lens out for this one, I imagine.
Got the big lens out. My only concern is like the railings on the side of the bridge. Obviously, they're going to obscure her quite a bit, like, because I'm shooting from below. So I'm just hoping that she's kind of going to be bright enough to really kind of spot out. That's the awkward thing with like shooting long lens stuff, is then if you're so far away and you can kind of forget the size of the person versus the landscape, and then they come across and they're either usually a lot smaller than you anticipate and you're like, oh crap. But I think this should be quite a nicely positioned kind of frame, but yeah, I'm hoping that she was wearing like an orangey kind of jacket, so she should stand out against what is currently quite a grey backdrop at the moment, so fingers crossed she's wearing that.
The team get their shot and Tom manages to speak to Veronica Salas, Cap 8, as she looks to resupply in the town of Savnich.
After I saw you yesterday, I started to pedal and I thought, oh, maybe I should pump my tires after the off-road. And I did find out that the new pump that I bought before coming here takes out my valve, so I took out the valve. I was just like 9K after the town. So I was like, oh, it's too far to go back now to the town. So I tried to pump it and yeah, I got it to like 1.5 bar. And I couldn't get more because whenever I would take it out, it would take out the valve again. So I was kind of trying to hold it with my fingers. So I did it. So like 40K to Plzeżyna. Mm-hmm. I was just like, I was very just soft. 40K. And this morning was slow with the wind. Mm-hmm. The wind was heavy. And then on the last climb, my knee started to hurt a lot. So I was crawling up. I'm a bit worried because it really hurts.
So you're in a tough moment at the moment.
Yeah, it's just like I don't want to get injured. So I'm going to try go to pharmacy now and see what I can find. Maybe they sell some new knees.
So far, only a few riders have decided to scratch to end their adventure on the Accursed Race. One of those riders is Konrad Kawara. He may have stopped racing, but he's still out there on his bike enjoying the Balkans.
Enjoying myself. So I'm not following the route exactly, but today completely by accident. I took the ferry from Koman, I think. It was a beautiful ferry ride, amazing. And I just decided to follow bits of the route. And then who do I see in front of me? Alexander, you know, he was just there. So it was like super random. I wasn't even looking at the dots that much, so I had no clue where everybody was. So,
any intel? What did he say?
No, well, that he's hot and he's tired, but he's pretty confident as well. I think that he knows that the other guys are also pretty tired too, you know. So,
that's everyone is.
So yeah, I mean, he has enough experience to know that, right? So yeah.
So, what's your impression of the Balkans generally then, even though you scratched?
Well, I mean, the reason I stayed and I'm still riding is because I just fucking love it, you know, it's great.
Hi everybody, Ross here from Control Car 2, just giving you a quick update. We are at about 1,000 meters above sea level, and we've just been climbing up this seriously stiff climb from Kruma, where we have seen Alex Kopp earlier, and we've just been kind of keeping ahead of him as we've been going up this climb, which is a completely off-road climb. It's beautiful with, like, you know, vertiginous drops either side of some of the ridge lines, and just amazing views all across the sort of Kruma area. Above me, I've got this massive mountain. It's about 2,000 meters high. With these, if you can imagine, like in a theater, the terraces of seats, and instead of seats, it's just these like bands of rock. Once Alex passes here, he's going to be heading down to Kukes, which is probably his last resupply point before he gets to CP2 in Pushkopi. And we're kind of expecting him at CP2 around, sort of late tonight, early tomorrow morning. It depends on when he chooses to sleep. But he's got a pretty tough off-road section before he gets to Pushkopi. So it's going to be slow going. The race is very much still live as well, with Adrian not far behind him, about 50 kilometers back, even though he said he's been suffering on the climbs. And then Josh, he's just making his way through Kosovo just now. And he's also about 50 kilometers behind Adrian. So yeah, the front three still separated, but not very much. The gaps have widened, but who knows what might happen the rest of the race. It's been a very hot, hazy day. So I imagine that the three of them have been struggling on the climbs a little bit. It's still all to play for.
Back in Savnich, Tom spots Veronica again.
So yeah. Veronica's just come back to the supermarket where we saw her like maybe an hour ago.
The queue in the pharmacy was long.
Oh, so you've been to the pharmacy?
I put every possible cream on my bum and my knee. So if this doesn't do the job, then I don't know what will. I will walk. I want to get at least to the CP1.
So it's really bad, huh?
Yeah, it's bad. Yeah, the knee is worse because like the butt will recover. The knee is worse. I'm just worried about the knee because I have another like five months on the road. So
yeah,
I'm just like don't want to get injured.
And is this a recurring injury that you've had before?
No, I didn't have it before. But That's why I'm a bit worried, but I'm just going to keep my knee warmers to keep it warm and see what happens.
Later, Ross and the team in Control Car 2 run into our leader, Alexander Kopp, Cap 27, as he stops to resupply in Kukas.
How have you found the temperatures today? It was a bit hotter today, huh?
Well, I had everything. I started with 0 degrees, wet and cold, and I'm freezing. And today, on the last climb, I completely cooked, or overcooked at some point.
You said there were some ups, though. What good ups did you have?
At the end, that I recovered from my morning, and it getting better and better and better, and then it was good again. And yeah, the landscape, as always. So, and to get lost in the forest.
I love it. Are you still feeling fairly confident in how you're riding?
You are. It is what it is. Yeah. It is slower than expected, or everybody is slow. I thought that Adrian will overtook me, but he's still 50k behind me or something like that. So something happened to him in the forest too. So.
Yeah. Seems the forest is the place where everyone's struggling. Yeah. So have you got a plan now? You're on your way to CP2. Have you got any plans?
Yeah, CP2 is far away. So I tried to find some berg again. And then I go until 11, 12 and then I go to bed. And hopefully find a good shelter or something like that. But yeah, it's so hot, I think. You can sleep somewhere outside, so we will see.
As the end of day 4 of the Accursed approaches, Adrian Lichty continues to chase Alexander Kopp at the front of the race. Here's Tom's summary of what's happening elsewhere on the route.
Our control car has been further back down the road, and today we've seen 5th and 6th place riders Sanchez and Salas sourcing supplies in Savnik. Veronica is reporting knee pain, though, and that's starting to really affect her riding. And the result of that is that David, who's feeling very fresh and rested, and he's got a lot in reserve, I think, is now only a couple of kilometres behind her. We've also seen Cap 30 Roar Massink on the road today, who's next down the road, and he's about 10 kilometers further back as they all head through Dermator this evening. This morning we spoke to Julien Graveau and Simon Toulel, the eager beavers leading the pairs race. They're next on the road. They're actually just behind Rule, actually. So in the pairs race, India and Ollie are in second place, but they're 85k behind the French guys. They've overcome some currency issues today, which has cost them a bit of time, but they've managed to pull out into a 30-kilometer lead over the Hungarian and German pairs, respectively, who are both currently in Plouzin, like literally within meters of each other. Join us tomorrow as I'll be reporting from the Biogradska Gora, which is the highest point on the race.
It's been a difficult day for many of our riders out in the Accursed Mountains. The incessant climbing and descending, perfectly matching the mental and physical ups and downs of racing in remote, challenging landscapes. Join us for our next episode, where our frontrunners return to Albania and reach Control Point 2 in Peshkopi, and those behind them continue their accursed journey. As well as this podcast, you can read Ross's daily race journals and find regular updates across all our social media channels. Thanks to our race partners, Albion, Tailfin, Komoot, Peak Design, Quirk Cycles, and POC. In another of our mini interviews, Lost Dots media manager Taylor Doyle speaks to Mel Webb, an ultra-distance cyclist, ambassador for Albion, and host of Detours, an ultra-cycling and adventure podcast that puts the spotlight on the sport's incredible women.
I really wanted to thank you for requesting that we do this 5 minutes just about the women in the Accursed race.
I mean, obviously, everybody out there is absolutely crushing it, has an amazing story, but it is a small but mighty crew of women out there. So I thought, you know, we should give them give them the spotlight they deserve.
For sure. And I mean, yeah, it's a bit sad because it got just a little bit smaller today with Bernarda scratching. So I feel like we should talk about her first, because like,
yeah,
I don't want her energy leaving the race to be like.
I met Ber. So for anyone who's unfamiliar with Bernarda Jurek, I met her at Silk Road 2022. And she just had like the biggest, most fun, playful energy. Her hair was dyed blue. Her jersey had her face on it. And I'm so glad to see she was rocking her Bernarda jersey at the Accursed as well. And she was like hot on Veronica's heels. But it looks like, I was just going through her Instagram, looked like she was bit by a dog and quite badly. She had some like big bandages on her legs.
She did want to keep, like, she was contemplating keeping going, but yeah, took doctor advice in the end, because she did have some stitches in there. But she, honestly, I'm kind of like, in the most respectful way possible, I'm just like, not that worried about her. Like, she's such a bad.
Yeah, I'm.
It'll be fine. We'll see her again.
Yeah, we'll see Bernarda again. She has done some of the biggest races out there. She is super strong, super positive. So really sad to see her leave the race, but it was great while it lasted. And I don't know, should we shift to the woman just, I mean, I was going to say just up the road from her, but now she's flown like, I think she was at 750 kilometers last time I checked. So by the time this airs, she'll be knocking on 1,000 kilometers door. But Veronica is just storming down this race.
She is. It's so inspiring. And I just love that when we interviewed her before the race, she was like, oh, I'm not that much of a racer. Like,
yeah,
wild.
And I think it really goes to show that there is not one right approach to preparing for these races. She is, you know, her background is in touring. She does a ton of touring. She does a ton of riding. But it's really inspiring to just see an alternative approach take the front of the field. And it seems like she's having a good time. I'm excited for her storytelling afterwards, because I'm sure she's taken some photos.
I'm sure. I mean, yeah, she really doesn't have that much racing experience, as you say, but like, I was checking her out on Dot Watcher, and like, in the one race that is documented on there, which is Crumbly, I believe, she finished literally like a few hours behind Leia Wilcox, who was fastest.
Wow. Yeah. She's got some serious firepower in her legs. Yeah. I hope we see her racing some more. I'll be curious to hear like what her experience is versus touring, because it's been quite some time since that last race. But yeah, I'm just sitting over here cheering Veronica on so hard, because she's crushing it. And also, shamelessly, she's an Albion athlete. So
Shall we now talk about Lisa before we move on to the pairs?
Lisa. Yes. So Lisa, she's from Belgium. She is one of the most badass people I have ever met in my life. So while these things are challenging in their own right, I think that is not going to hold her back from getting this thing done. And she will just keep chugging along strong and steady. But she's a force. She also had some setbacks ahead of the race. And so she was, you know, thinking that she'd have to take this a little bit slower than she normally would like to do. So it's great to see her just plugging along and getting it done, and regardless of, you know, being up front or at the back. So
there's definitely like in the interviews that I've been listening to with her that the team have been capturing, like there's just such a like coolness to her.
Mm-hmm. So composed, and just, you know, anything that could be a negative on course, she turns it into a positive, and she's like, right, well, that's just something we need to deal with. And it's very pragmatic, and she gets the job done. So big chapeau to Lisa.
Yeah, 100%. Shall we move on to
pairs?
Pairs race in general, first of all, like, has been pretty on fire, which is nice to see in a race like this.
Yeah, we've got Isabel Bertie in a pair and Indy Landy in a pair. They're both in mixed pairs. Isabel, tough to find like context on her, but she's smiling. Seems like they're making good progress. She's been posting some beautiful updates. So it's great to see her and her partner riding strong. I don't, from my understanding, she hasn't had any, you know, crazy hurdles to overcome. I'm sure everyone will, their tails will unfold at the end, right? But India seems to be going through it with her saddle slipping down. No. They seem to be having to hit an ATM every single day, getting more cash for, you know, rural Balkans. So definitely not without their trials and tribulations, but I would say both in good spirits and making like very steady progress.
Yeah, it's been always kind of like an uplifting sort of update from them, from any time we have contact with them out in the field. And yeah, just a kind of a pleasure to see how fun pairs riding can be. I've never ridden in a pair, have you?
Yes, love racing in a pair. Yeah. It can be more challenging if you don't have the right dynamic. You know, you have to have an understanding of one another and be on page with the same goals. But it seems like these two pairs are working really well together, and, you know, they've got a great dynamic. India was saying her partner was refueling because she was on her period and needed to be eating more. And so her partner went and got the cash from the machine and really playing into that teamwork, which is awesome to see. I mean, that's the key to success, is just everybody having their roles and responsibilities and working together. And I think both of those pairs are doing a great job of that on the road.
The Accursed.